these 300 attributes into 30 chapters, in which right now, unfortunately, we don't have access to 18 chapters. Mm-hmm. Only we have access to the 12 chapters. Yes.
You mean they are not published yet?
Yes, not published or not found. Not missing. Okay. I don't know. I don't have clear information on what has happened upon that. But regarding these attributes, we have to say it starts from the beginning. I mean, the childhood of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, and then his martyrdom, his merits, people who accompanied Imam Hussein alayhi salam, his types of worship on the day of Ashura, and the other attributes.
That's right.
So it could be regarded as a kind of encyclopedic book for his time, mm-hmm. even up until now.
That's right.
Why? Because if our listeners want to get some information, they can just open this book and benefit from his saying in this word. And nowadays, it is really, really, really famous.
Yes.
It is, I can say, most of the times when you go to the majalis of yes. Imam Hussein alayhi salam, specifically when it comes to the part of the matam or musibah,
yes.
you see that the radud or the one who is reciting the musibah is saying that Sheikh Jafar Shushtari is saying in his book.
That's
so
right.
that specific part that will affect the mm-hmm. listeners has been quoted from this noble book, which shows the position or the place of
That's
this
right.
book.
And it's very much comprehensive because, Dr. Fakhrani, it starts from the birth of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam, the special miraculous aspects of the life up until the day of Ashura, you know, and after that, in the post and pre-events of the day of Ashura and the month of Muharram. How did you find the book? You yourself are a researcher on Ashura studies. We can't say in the history of Karbala. How did you find this book?
Actually, to the best of my knowledge, because I've read both its Arabic original plus several Persian translations of it, and well, it might be interesting for you to know that just a couple of times I've been suggested to translate it to English.
Yes.
Well, as you know, because of other projects and academic obligations and commitments, up to now I haven't found this opportunity. However,
but it's one of your favorites.
Yes. However, upon studying the book, I found that okay, in some earlier parts of the book, he talks about Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam, but as he proceeds in the book, he comes and compares Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam with the divine prophets, mm-hmm. with pre-Islamic prophets.
Okay.
And for example, in the case of Job, Ayyub, okay, he comes and, he compares, patience and forbearance of Ayyub in contrast with the patience and forbearance of Imam al-Hussein al-Islam.
Very nice, very beautiful.
Or with regard to, for example, Jesus Christ, regarding the merciful attitude to everybody, including his enemies. He compares Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam in contrast to Jesus Christ, and any time he compares Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam with any of the pre-Islamic prophets,
yes.
Based on delicate and accurate evidence, he deduces this conclusion that
That's
Imam
right.
al-Hussein alayhi salam has already been much superior than all the mm-hmm. pre-Islamic prophets.
So al-Khasais can also refer to the divine attributes
yes,
of the
yes,
prophets,
certainly.
But all of them we can say collected in the character of
Imam al-Hussein
alayhi salam.
Yes.
That's all right. One of the most, as Sheikh Mahtavi also said, authentic resources
Yes.
regarding, we can say, the life of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam, compiled by Sheikh Jafar Shushtari, because of the special look that Imam had on this outstanding, as I said, making him from maybe a weak speaker, or better to say, addresser, and member to one of the most powerful ones during the history, who was a mujtahid, at the same time, a very strong and influential addresser on Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. Okay, any missed point?
Maybe since we are approaching the days of Muharram, for
yes.
our listeners to benefit more from these days, I may quote one
right.
Short part of the introduction of his book.
Good.
Allama Sheikh Ja'far al-Shushtari is saying that when I looked at all means and instruments and tools that we are given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to save ourselves and reach salvation, I realized, although we have a lot of things, we are given a lot of things, but Imam Hussein alayhi salam and everything which is affiliated to Imam Hussein is the best way of saving ourselves. That's why I dedicated my life to have such a book, to collect his characteristics for all those readers and listeners. Yes. And as we see, most of the time he dedicated his life to be regarded as the speaker, the one who is giving lecture on the member Imam Hussein, meaning that he himself at the first was resorting to this means that we are given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us during these days to benefit from the opportunity of the hayaat and majalis al-Husayniyah.
And he was a man of passion, I think, plus knowledge. And this made him very much sincere. That's right. Thank you very much, Dr. Farh Rouhani and Sheikh Mahtabi, for your presence in the program. Teacher, talking about Sheikh Jafar Shushtari, the author of the magnum opus, Khasais al-Husayniyah. This outstanding man passed away on Safar 28, 1303, according to the lunar Hijri calendar. His body was taken into the holy shrine of Imam Ali alayhi salam and was buried in one of the main courtyards or room in the holy shrine of Imam Ali alayhi salam. May Allah bless the soul of this outstanding man. And thank you very much, dear listeners, for listening to this episode of the program, The Teacher. For more information on this program and our previous episodes, visit our website at parstoday.com/Ian Call of Islam page. Also, our YouTube channel, Instagram page, Call of Islam Radio. To another episode and introducing another Shia Alem who produced the work on Imam Al Hussein alayhi salam. God bless you all. Fi amanillah.
Inna fil jannati nahran min laban. Inna fil jannati nahran min laban. Li Aliin wa Husainin wa Hasan. Li Aliin wa Husainin wa Hasan. Kullu man kana muhibban.
Cultural news, social news, scientific news, artistic news. With delight.
On the outskirts of China's metropolis, Shanghai, a tiny island has been dubbed Cat Island as it provides shelter for stray animals. Since it opened last month, a charity based on the island is taking in cats, mainly brought from Shanghai residents. These small carnivorous mammals are neutered and evaluated, and those with good temper and health are allowed to roam free on the island. The city's Stray Cats Management Center says their trap-neuter-release policy is to protect stray cats, limits their population, and maintain ecological balance. However, Shanghai has an estimated 200 stray cats per square kilometer, which means other methods will be needed to control the urban population, stray cats. A pair of baby panda twins make their debut appearance at the Chongqing Zoo in southwest China, with visitors flocking to cherish the abundance of cuteness.
Our returnee panda, Irshan, gave birth to the twin brother and sister on July 22nd this year. Currently, the elder brother weighs 4.3 grams and the younger sister weighs 0.6 grams. They're in good condition at present.
The twins' first public appearance was on Saturday, the first day of the week-long National Day holidays. During this week, the pair of giant panda cubs will be on display in the nursery of the panda house of the zoo. Their mother, Irshan, once lived in Canada as a goodwill envoy, but returned to her homeland in 2020. This was Irshan's second delivery of twins. A total of 21 pandas currently live in the Chongqing Zoo, which has been breeding giant pandas since the 1960s. evolution of robots has been one of the fascinations of recent technological developments. And now the most cutting-edge achievements in that department were presented to the public during a conference in Beijing. The four-day annual World Robot Conference was held both offline and online. It featured three major events, including forum, expo, and competition. On display were more than 500 sets of robots from 130 companies from China and abroad. The conference gave an idea of how the future of humanity will be impacted by the automations. It shows how they can contribute to different sectors, from the restaurant industry and medicine to elderly care, agriculture and manufacturing. An aircraft powered by electricity may still be some way off, but one of its types is already here thanks to a whole range of innovative solutions being developed by aviation firms. American company Aviation Aircraft has debuted its all-electric plane in Washington State. The aircraft, named Alice, took off the runway at Grand County International Airport and flew for 8 minutes. It reached an altitude of 3,500 feet before touching down the ground. According to the company, the aircraft produces no carbon emissions, significantly reduces noise, and costs a fraction to operate compared to usual light jets. The company says it continues to develop and tweak the plane's battery system for an hour flight.
We're targeting a design criteria of 35 minutes for a charge. And so that'll be a charge for the typical route length. It's actually, as I just said, it's actually a design point. So going back to the comment I made earlier about designing batteries for aircraft, it's one of the considerations is how quickly do we want it to charge? How much power do you want to be able to draw from it? So again, we're targeting, call it 30 minutes of charge for an hour of flight time, or about 2C if you're...
The company aims to find its way into the market for trips that sit between 150 and 250 miles, a range that features aircraft similar in size to Alice. It will also be for both commuter and cargo flights. For aircraft manufacturers, this paradigm shift is driving fuel savings in flight and on the ground, reducing carbon footprints and NOx emissions, while also improving reliability and cutting maintenance costs. Many people of the world are supported almost completely by animals because they live in areas unsuitable for animal husbandry. But these days, even some city dwellers are making their living out of animals, like a Virginia girl. Andrea Diaz quit her job at a restaurant and started to rent her pet alpacas to cheer up steer crazy Americans during the pandemic. Since the launch of her business in 2020, it has expanded from 2 to 14 alpacas. Interestingly, 5 with fluffy pets are regularly making a paid appearance at birthdays, weddings, restaurants, and offices. She charges a starting price of $95 per hour. Diaz says the best part is when there are kids' birthday parties, but even it's really a fun for the adults. She calls alpacas a good exposure because they attract people.
In most of its habitats, the heavily trafficked pangolin faces the biggest threat from humans. But in Taiwan, these gentle creatures are exposed to quite a different danger, feral dogs. In the island, a government policy has led to a surge in the population of feral dogs. The pangolins share most of their roaming area with the stray animals. Plus, these scaly animals cannot move as fast as their attackers. When faced with danger, pangolins curl themselves into a ball shape. But the tail still remains at the most outer side, and that's where the dogs hit them hard.
The Light is a bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
Ecuador's Galapagos National Park is testing different coral replanting methods in an effort to restore fragile underwater ecosystems around local islands.
These corals are important because they are recyclers in the ocean. They convert all the CO2 into oxygen. These corals are important because they are refuges, nurseries, and nursery areas for some fish species.
Coral reef die-offs affect the marine food supply chains and are considered a major climate tipping point. The experimental project is run by park rangers and volunteers in a bay on Santa Cruz Island. Since 2020, they have tested how corals reproduce when they are placed on surfaces like bricks, cement, or tied together and strung on metal frames. They are growing samples in a nursery before adding them to bay. The rangers are reporting improvements with the appearance of new fish near the replanted corals.
A free climber known as the French Spider-Man scales a 48-story skyscraper in Paris to fulfill a goal he set for himself once he reached the age of 60.
A few years back, I promised myself that the day I turn 60, I have to climb the total tower. Because 60 years old marks retirement age in France, and so I thought this would make a very good nod.
Alain Roberts says this building is not as hard as others he has climbed. The French Spider-Man has ascended over 100 of the world's tallest buildings, including the Sydney Tower, the Sears Tower in Chicago, and the Burj Khalifa in Dubai, amongst many others. Roberts says he spent 2 decades climbing mountains before attempting urban climbs. Using his rock climbing experience, he sometimes carries a small bag of climbing chalk to help him grasp the small protrusions of building walls. Many of his climbs can last several hours. The 60-year-old daredevil says he wants to give people the message that age is a number and one can still be active and do sports. A Palestinian farmer has discovered an ancient Byzantine-era mosaic when preparing to plant an olive tree on his plot of land in the Gaza Strip. The farmer and his son have been carefully excavating the area for 3 months since spring. The pair dug out 3 patches, revealing glimpses of an ornate mosaic with intricate images of birds, flora, and tile patterns. Its full size is roughly 23 square meters. The discovery has set off excitement amongst archaeologists. Experts say it is one of the most well-preserved specimens with precision in graphics and richness in colors. According to archaeologists, the mosaic pavement dates back to the 5th and 7th centuries. Last month, another Palestinian farmer found the rare stone sculpture while working on his land, which dates back to around 2500 BC. They're back as India has revealed or released several of them into the grasslands of Kuna National Park after a 70-year absence in the country. The 8 radio-coloured African cheetahs made the long journey from Namibia. The big cats were released during a ceremony by Prime Minister Narendra Modi that coincided with his birthday. After their acclimation in the national park, they will be released into a 5-hectare spread of land in central India covered by grassland and forest. The felines will share the landscape with other animals and roam with leopards, sloths and striped hyenas. Their reintroduction is the culmination of a 13-year effort to restore the species, which vanished from the country decades ago. Another 12 cheetahs are expected to join the fledgling Indian population next month from South Africa. With more funding, the country hopes to gradually increase the population of cheetahs to around 40. World Cleanup Day unites millions of volunteers, governments and organizations to tackle the global waste problem and build a sustainable world. People in several countries joined the efforts again for a waste-free world. Volunteers were seen in mangrove forests in the suburb of Bangkok. They collected more than 1.5 tons of rubbish in just a few hours. Trash picking events were also held in the Philippines and Vietnam. In Hanoi, hundreds, mostly students, armed with metal tongs and sacks, walked along major roads. They said their aim is to raise awareness about protecting the environment. In Manila, people cleaned up the city's beaches that are major tourist attractions. The annual cleanup day has been running for over a decade. From divers collecting marine debris to children picking up trash on beaches have just one goal: make our planet a cleaner place.
Chinese astronauts are celebrating their first ever mid-autumn festival in outer space while sharing their otherworldly experience with people on Earth. The crew had a close-up view of the moon from China's Tiangong space station and their third month in space. On the occasion, the ground crew organized a series of celebrations, including a family reunion for the astronauts. The ground crew also prepared elaborate food packages that had been prepared before the launch of the spacecraft. Typically, the traditional festival is kicked off by the first viewing of the full moon on the 15th day of the 8th month of the lunar calendar. Despite being able to see the moon rise and set 16 times a day, the astronauts say the moon is special on this occasion.
Savior.
Oh, the Savior of mankind, please show us a sign.
To the designer of the human civilization that is established on the unity of Almighty Allah.
You are a true God.
To the redeemer of human volition and thought.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Dear listeners, welcome to Arabic English Radio. You're listening to The Last Savior, in which we discuss all the essential key points regarding the concept of Mahdawiyya and the last savior of humankind, Imam Mahdi ajalallah farajah. And for today's episode, we're privileged to have the Islamic researcher, Dr. Karimi, with us. Assalamu alaikum, doctor, and glad to have you here.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullah, and thank you for having me.
Of course, the pleasure is all ours. Well, dear listeners, back in the previous session, we talked about the political aspect of the governance of Imam Mahdi, may Allah hasten his reappearance. Today, still, we're working on the justice part of his political governance. We talked that there would be mercy, there would be justice, but justice has got different dimensions. We talked about political justice, and still, there's more to justice to hear from Dr. Karimi.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. As I said in the previous program, Imam Mahdi alayhi salam, when it comes to economic issues, he will act upon justice too. And his way of governance will affect the people, and people also will act upon justice among themselves. So they will share whatever they have with each other. And that is why one of the very interesting points regarding the time of the reappearance of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam is that we will not find a poor person anymore. And when it comes to rich people, we said that according to that prophetic narration, they feel that richness deep in their hearts, which means that they are not greedy anymore. Now, in one narration, Imam Sadiq alayhi salam is quoted as saying that when Imam Mahdi alayhi salam reappears, Hakama bil Adl, he will act upon justice. Then he explains regarding some of the features of his justice, and he comes to this part where he says, فَلَا يَجِدُ الرَّجُلُ مِنْكُمْ يَوْمَئِذٍ مَوْضَعًا لِصَدَقَتِهِ وَلَا لِبِرِّهِ لِشُمُولِ الْغَنَى جَمِيعَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. This notion is mentioned in other narrations as well. Because of the justice of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam, people will not find any poor person for their charity anymore. So, before that, let me also refer to another point that the other narrations tell us that at the time of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam, Imam will have access to so many properties. First of all, the earth would be, we have enough rain. So we have enough agriculture. Imam Mahdi alayhi salam will have access to some of the hidden treasuries of the
natural world. Blessings and also treasury.
So the properties are enough for all the people to be rich. But it needs, first of all, the government to act upon justice, and second of all, for people to share whatever they have.
Yeah.
So these two factors help each other not to have any poor person anymore.
Mm-hmm.
At that time, فَلَا يَجِدُ الرَّجُلُ مِنْكُمْ يَوْمَئِذًا مَوْضَعًا لِصَدَقَتِهِ. You may be interested in giving charity, but you are not able to find anyone.
You are not going to find anyone to share that with him or her.
Because all the people are rich and they are not greedy. That's the point.
That would be utopia.
Yeah, that's what we are aspiring for.
Yeah.
So I do not mean that all the people are rich at the same level. No, it's not practical.
You said it. You said that the richness is going to be in their heart.
Yeah, because of the fact that you are rich in your heart too, you do not find any poor person asking for money anymore.
And when rich people are not greedy, they would share whatever they have.
The
so
point.
There would be no longer of those poor people.
And the Imam explained himself, لَشُمُولِ الْغَنَى جَمِيعَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Because at that time, that richness that we need for having a kind of welfare in our life, this is going to be including all the people. In chapter Hadid, verse 17, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that, أَعْضُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ اِعْلَمُ أَنَّ اللَّهَ يُحْيِي الْأَرْضَ بَعْدَ مَوْتِهَا. Know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will revive the earth after its death. Now, the apparent understanding of the verse is that one of them is that without rain, the earth would be dead. And through rain, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will revive the earth.
Now, we have both spiritual and natural death.
That's the point. Now, for the spiritual one, we have some narrations which talk about the fact that this verse is referring to Imam Mahdi alayhi salam, through whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will revive the earth. فَيُحْيِحَ اللَّهُ بِالْقَائِمِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will revive the earth with through Imam Mahdi alayhi salam, who يَعْدَلُ فِيهَا فَتَحْيَ الْأَرْضِ. He will act upon justice in the earth, and because of that, as a result of that, the earth would be revived. And Imam Al-Kadhim alayhi salam also has a commentary under the same verse. He says that وَلَكِنْ يَبْعَثُ اللَّهَ رِجَالًا. This verse is referring to the time when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will send some people, referring to Imam Mahdi alayhi salam and his companions. فَيُحْيُونَ الْعَادِلِ فَتُحْيَ الْأَرْضُ لِإِحْيَاءِ الْعَادِلِ. They will revive justice, and because of the revival of justice, the earth would be revived too.
Yeah.
This is a kind of, as you rightly mentioned, a spiritual understanding of the verse. This is in Al-Kafi, volume 7, page 174, and the commentary on Nur al-Thaqalayn, volume 4, page 173. And the next narration is quoted from Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, who says, when Imam Mahdi alayhi salam reappears, one of the features, one of the interesting points at that time is that لَا يَدْخُلُنَّ عَلَيْهِمْ عَدْلُهُ جَوْفَ بُيُوتِهِمْ كَمَا يَدْخُلُ الْحَرُّ وَالْقُرُ. There is a kind of simile in this narration. Imam says that the same way that the heat and the cold enters the houses of the people, the justice of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam will enter the houses of the people at that
time.
Would
prevail everywhere.
Exactly. And people will feel that justice as they feel cold and heat. This is in Al-Ghaybah by Nu'mani, page 297.
Now, just a question before you go further. We already talked about religion. We said that when the Imam is going to publish his government, religion is going to be committed in all its aspects. And also, as far as justice is concerned, everywhere is going to be prevailed by justice, and there would be no more of injustice. The question is here, still you have a lot more to say on justice, but here comes a question. Is it possible to have such a model in our time before the appearance of Imam Mahdi Ajalallah Farajah? Is it possible to have a model, a sort of model that is going to look like his government?
In a very short scale, it might be possible, but I mean, the ideal one, of course, is not possible because of, I mean, first of all, we have verses and narration in this regard. And second of all, I mean, the experience is telling us that it's not, I mean, without a present imam who is going to rule over the world, without the presence of an infallible imam, I mean,
achieving and accomplishing that is impossible.
It's impossible. I mean, nowadays, even in one country, it's not possible. In one city, it's not possible. When you have one poor person in one neighborhood, it means that you are not able to practice justice within two or three streets only.
Yeah.
So when we have such a situation, the only thing that we can seek for is to, I mean, establish justice as far as we can in our city, in our neighborhood, in our country, if it is possible, of course. But first of all, as I mentioned, the verses of the Quran and the narrations tell us that this is only going to be happening after the reappearance of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam. And second of all, as I mentioned, the experience is telling us that it is not possible as long as at least we have such superpowers seeking for more money, for properties.
Yeah, and still greed exists among people.
So we need that infallible imam to come and first of all to defeat those superpowers, to reveal the true understanding of the religion, to reveal for the people what they do not know about the religion and about science, because we believe that real technology will be revealed by Imam Mahdi alayhi salam too.
Yeah.
So when the narrations talk about the fact that like 20 something of knowledge is not known until the reappearance of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam,
it has not been unfolded yet.
It seems that it's not only about religious knowledge.
Yeah.
It includes all aspects of knowledge. So we need that knowledge. We need that infallible ruler to come, and I mean, only through him.
So according to the narrations that you already are talking about them with us, we're going to have one leader who's going to act upon justice and who is going to unfold all the secrets for human beings. And then everything seems to be flourishing.
Exactly.
So that's the gist, and we have all the details in the narrations.
Exactly.
I can feel your eyes like the sun shining behind the clouds. I need a morning to shatter this long night forever. I need a hero to stop this thousand year old pain.
So if I have time, I may share more narration in this regard.
Yes, for sure.
The Holy Prophet, still we are talking about some of the narrations about the justice of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam. One of the points regarding him is that, as I mentioned, it's very, because some people ask, how is it possible for all the people to come and believe in the religion of Islam, at the end of the day, you have free will. So we may think of some people not to believe in Imam Mahdi alayhi salam. But the point is that when we read these narrations and imagine you have a world without any poor person, without any trace of injustice, is it possible for you not to love that the leader of that world?
Mm-hmm.
It seems to be
impossible. Yeah.
And all the other features of the governance of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam, which we have in the narrations, and I will share some of them in the following sessions. So it's very unlikely for the people, unless they are stubborn. I mean, they know the truth and they do not want to follow.
Yeah, they stand against it firmly.
Exactly.
Unconsciously.
So for the people who are really seeking for the truth, it seems that all of them will come to this conclusion that they should follow Imam Mahdi alayhi salam. And that is why such governance of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam would be loved by all the people. In one narration, the Holy Prophet is quoted as saying, يَمْلَوْ الْأَرْضَ عَدْلًا كَمَا مُلْأَ الْجَوْرَ Imam Mahdi alayhi salam will fill the earth with justice after it was filled with injustice. يَرْضَى فِي خِلَافَتِهِ أَهْلُ الْأَرْضِ وَأَهْلُ السَّمَاءِ وَالطَّيْرُ فِي الْجَوْرِ Regarding his government and governance, the following would be happy. The inhabitants of the earth, the inhabitants of the heavens, maybe referring to the angels, and even the birds in the sky.
In the sky.
It can be a metaphor, but it seems that it's something beyond a metaphor. It's referring to a kind of reality. Because we can imagine that at that time, people are not going to, have a kind of oppression regarding the environment too, regarding the animals, regarding the birds. So at that time, even the birds and animals are
free
from the oppression coming from the people.
There'd be no more of hunting, more of killing.
That's the point. So it seemed that when the narration says that even the birds would be happy because of the governance of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam, it's referring to a kind of reality.
That means that both. Time. All the living beings, including human beings and animals, are going to be
and
having
Ahlul
a prosperous
may
life.
Refer to both the human beings and all the other creatures on the earth.
Yeah. So this was all that we got for today's session. Still, the story goes on. So stay tuned and stay with us for more of information regarding the governance of Imam Mahdi. May Allah hasten his reappearance. Thank you, dear listeners. Until another session, I bid you farewell.
If you're interested to know about history, culture, family, politics, religion, art, etc., you wouldn't want to miss the chance to tune into the IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
It's the show where we discuss the most topical of topics, the most controversial of controversies, and the most important affairs of affairs.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Back to Reality, and thank you for joining us. So, I am Asma, your humble host. I am a student of English literature. And in here, I have with me two very dear guests, Zainab and Bita. Welcome.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. It's a really big pleasure for me to join you for this discussion. I am Bita, a medical student from Iran.
And assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. I'm Zainab Sadat. I'm from Iran and I have my MA in TFL, teaching English as a foreign language. And it's my pleasure to be here today in this discussion.
Thank you very much, both of you. Thank you for joining us in today's episode. So there's this thing that we have it in our everyday life. There's a time that we sit all alone, perhaps in front of a garden or in front of a TV, since we are living in a modern world, watching a movie and whatever. Then suddenly something comes to you that, well, life is very difficult. There is no way to call life an easy step. We've been into this life with so much of, sadness. Let me just put it so honest.
Straight and bitter.
Yeah, so bitter. Life is so difficult. There is no way to get out of this misery. And there is no way for me to think that life is easy. Now, I want you to justify me that life is easy.
You know, I cannot justify you that life is easy because I do not agree with that point even. But the thing is, I think life becomes easy when you accept that it's hard.
Yeah.
And
good point
is,
to start.
The thing is, I want to tell you that always when we are in difficult situations, we are like, okay, life is so hard. Why me? Why not another person? Why it should be exactly me? We have 8 billion people in this world, and the one that who have to suffer, for example, this problem is me. Why? And this way of thinking and mindset, I want to tell you that your life story isn't your life. It's your story. And I want to make a separation between the situation and the decision. You know, the thing is, we had a kind of, scientific research that, was played on many people. And they just told other people a story. It was like, okay, when you, for example, one day you go in a bank, and in this bank there are many people, I don't know, bank teller, other customers, and many people there. And suddenly the robber comes to the bank. And at this moment, he's just yelling, shouting, and telling you that just put yourself on the floor or something like that. And once he just shot a gun and this bullet comes to your hand.
Okay.
Yeah. And you are the one who had the injury. So what is your opinion about this? It is the easy situation. It is an easy situation. The thing is, it is negative or positive. They asked many people this question after telling this story, and about 80% these people told the narrator that it's
you mean
difficult.
The bullet comes to my hand.
Yeah.
Out of all these people, the bullet
exactly.
comes to my hand.
Exactly.
So the fault is in my star.
And they were like about 80% of these people told that person, it's so difficult, first of all, and it's negative.
Yeah, of
it's
course.
No,
but
of
you
course.
Know, Lita, yes, it's positive. The bullet has not hit your heart.
Thank
exactly.
you.
You're alive.
Thank you. You are a hero. Exactly. In this research, we have two kinds of people, victims and heroes.
I'm the victim.
You're the victim. And I am the victim too, unfortunately. And you are the person who think, why in this difficult life, I have to be the one who is hit by
yes.
a bullet.
Yes,
and
why
not that
me?
Person. But, you know, as my dear sister, you know, that I really admire her, told us.
Thank you for not admiring me.
Told us that, okay, and, you know, I'm really glad that it is, you know, I'm alive yet.
Yeah.
I didn't die in this accident. It is me, okay, I'm injured. I know it's somehow difficult, but I'm happy.
Nice
it's
research.
It's a positive experience, okay? And the thing is, I want to tell you that life is nor difficult, neither
easy.
But the thing is, you look at it.
It depends
ways.
On the way you look at it.
Yeah, the perspective you have.
It depends on your decisions, Bita. the decisions you make. Very good point you mentioned. We should not forget that the source of these things that is happening to me,
you know,
is me,
Bita
myself.
Just said that your life story is just your story of life, not the life itself.
Exactly.
You know, the decisions you make, it will set the root of your life. And then there are some people who make lots of mistakes, and most of their decisions are incorrect. And then when they meet the natural consequences of their decisions, they come to see, oh, I was so miserable. I'm so, you know, unfortunate, and things like that.
Let's go for a little break. We'll be back in no time. Dear audience, stay with us. Let's be honest, if life was so easy, then what is the reason of coming into this world and then dying and then going by the rules of a religion?
Exactly.
Why do we need all these prophets to come and to teach us the true from the wrong?
Mm-hmm. You know, hardship is the motivation for us to endeavor.
Yeah, it's a driving force.
Yes, and there is a famous quotation in English saying, what comes easy won't last, and what lasts won't come easy. So whatever you gain, that is worth
having. We have an idiom, easy come, easy go.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes, and that's another way of saying this one. And you know that whatever we gain in our life that is worth having has not been gained by
so
just sitting and waiting. And you know, another point is that we are not born to live at ease and then die in peace and then go straightly to heaven.
Yes.
That's not the point. That's not the goal of our creation.
Exactly.
We've been created to be tested in difficult situations.
I do agree with that. You know, I want to look at this topic from a kind of religious perspective.
Mm-hmm.
In our religion, we have a beautiful guideline that it tells you that, you know, it is sunnati ittilav imtihan. You know, you have to be tested in this life.
Which is, and, shall you please explain more on the phrase you mentioned?
You know, there are hardships in this life, and these hardships are the exams you have to pass. And when you pass an exam, you will go to the next level.
So it's actually the ritual of being tested,
exactly.
Being put into a test.
Mm-hmm. And this is a rule that will help you to grow stronger, grow better, and be someone who is worth to be human.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know, we have seen it all around the world, that great people that we call them just as icons or the people who have made a big classic of masterpieces,
mm-hmm.
They have all been through a difficult journey.
Mm-hmm.
Many of them even had some defections.
Yes.
So it doesn't mean that when life is easy and only in that case you're going to be someone. On the contrary, I guess that the most of the time, it is the hardship that is going to make a perfect person out of you. And also there's this thing which is very much famous. They say that a silent sea does not make a perfect sailor.
Mm-hmm.
So it is very much true.
Yes.
In order to gain strength, in order to gain a characteristic of your own self, in order to have a school of thought, you have to go through too much. Through too much of hardship most of the time.
Yes, and as we said, these are all tests. And in Quran even, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned this point several times. In Surah Al-Baqarah, the 155th verse says that, "And surely we shall try you with something of fear and hunger, and loss of wealth and lives and crops. But give glad tidings to the patient who say, when afflicted with calamity, to Allah we belong and to Him is our return."
Yeah.
They are those on whom blessing from Allah and mercy, and they are the ones that receive guidance.
Yeah.
You know, this verse shows that all these difficulties are not aimless. Yeah. They were pointed to reach us in order for us to be evaluated, in order for our rank to elevate, as just Bita said, in order to be true human beings.
And the key point here is elevation that you mentioned. You know, we come into this world in order to grow. And also there's another narration in the Holy Book of Quran that says, do they think that we bring them into this world in order just to live happily? Yes. No, they have been supposed to go through a test. So this whole story of life is a big test that we've been sent to.
Yes, the whole story of life is about being tested.
Yeah, and just being a normal human being who's got all the prosperity, who's got all the easiness of life, pleasures, I don't know, different houses, cars, whatever that we see right now. Because recently everything has been so radiant to people. And we think that, oh my God, that much of pleasure, I would wish I would have that thing or this thing. But in the end, we have to consider that what makes you different from the other people, or what makes you different from the other creatures, is the fact that you have a brain, you can tolerate different situations, and you can make your way out of them.
You know, I see that you were talking about difficulties in life or something like that, but you are just forgetting something really
which
important.
Which is?
Which is, you know, this test is not only for difficulties. Even when you are living in a paradise, this is
that.
A test again.
Mm-hmm.
And this was the point I wanted to tell you that, for example, if you don't have parents, if you're losing them, or if you're in a bad situation, it is a test. And whether you have parents, again, it's a test.
Exactly.
Life is a test, no matter how easy or how hard it is.
Yeah, and some people think that if they are in a good condition, it's because of themselves, you know? They think that they have achieved everything themselves alone. They do not consider the fact that sometimes God gives you everything. He would give you a pile of blessings, and then he just want to see what are you going to do with all these.
Yeah, exactly. Just to take advantage of those opportunities.
Yeah, exactly.
And that is your duty.
This is IRIB English Radio. You're listening to Back to Reality.
You know, we have many poor people in this world. I always wonder that, okay, as a person, if I share my income with the person who is living next to me and who is suffering from different kind of issues, I don't know, which is related to monetary issues, then there wouldn't have been much of problems in this world. If we share, even kindness, you know, some people are dying of the lack of kindness. They do not have anyone to share love with them. And this would cause depression. And after that, they would go for suicide, which we see a lot of that. We actually hear that. We need to share the blessings that we have, just as Bita mentioned. Also, the blessings are another way of testing. So do not think that you have blessings, so you're on the safe shore and there's nothing that you're going to be tested with.
We are not going to live in this life in order to enjoy it, because we have to go and to be moved into another world, the hereafter.
How good would it be if we believe this sentence?
Yes, and in case we believe in that, you know, we are not supposed to be in a luxurious situation in this life, because
the life of angels.
We are all as just both of you mentioned correctly. We are supposed to go through several tests in order to be evaluated,
and that's the process of growing.
Yes, and then after your growth, you will die, and you will be moved into hereafter in another world.
We're travelers. We're going through too much of hardships. Now, different people have got different stories, just as Bita said.
Yeah.
Sometimes you're too optimistic. Sometimes you're too pessimistic. But I guess being realistic is going to help you too much. And at the very same time, always and always and always keep in mind to count your blessings, because through these blessings you are going to prove your true self in this world. And as just my friends mentioned, this life is a place of testing. So we're not going to stay here forever. It's just a short pause, and then we're going to go to the place that we belong to.
And thank you for staying with us. Thank you for sharing your ears and attention with this program. Until another session of Back to Reality, I bid you farewell.
Ya Allah, Ya Rabb al-Alamin, Ya Rahman, Ya Rahim, Ya Rabbi, let the Ummah rise again.
Ya Allah,
Ya Rabb al-Alamin, Ya Rahman, Ya Rahim, Ya Rabbi, let the Ummah rise again. Let us see daylight again, once again.
Why Syria? Part 2.
Nine years is not a short period. It's similar to the period of a child who was born and is now a couple of years into school, or a teenager who is now admitted to university, or a student who has graduated, is married, and is now likely expecting his first child. And so that's the way I prefer to look at the passing of 9 years. But in Syria, I couldn't look the way I wanted to at the passing of 9 years, as I passed the streets, alleyways, and buildings. I could only keep myself composed to some extent, as opposed to many others who were in shock and awe when they encountered these scenes. Especially when I saw all of those factories and workshops that used to be full of workers, engineers, and technicians 9 years ago. People who are no longer in their workplaces. Many people who are no longer with us. There's not enough space in the ground to hide their bodies. Sometimes a park in the street becomes their burial place. I felt that in Syria, I didn't have the right to speak of anything other than the war for the past 9 years. However, I decided to at least look for answers to why all of this happened in Syria. Why Syria? In the United States, people are not very political. Therefore, it really doesn't matter to them what happens in the rest of the world.
CBS News came to this place called Attaf with General Frank McKenzie, commander of U.S. forces in the Middle East.
David, we're standing on the Damascus-Baghdad highway, just inside Syria, and what we're doing here is supporting our partners in the fight against ISIS.
However, not all the people here are American. Some members of Syria's opposition visit the TANF base regularly. Apart from their looks and uniforms, they can be recognized by their Arabic language and their Toyota vans. It appears they are opposed to the Syrian government and have come together to fight the Syrian army. But it appears that their main mission after protecting the American base is controlling the roads that pass through TANF. Of course, the Chinese, in cooperation with many other Asian countries, like Iran, intend to revive the Silk Road. This is a decision which is not secret, as they have talked about it openly on many occasions. Till then, the road linking Baghdad to Damascus and from there to the Mediterranean coast is still considered as the Silk Road. Wesley Clark is not the only person who believes the war in Syria was planned long before it started. Many others, like Robert F. Kennedy Jr., also share this belief. He is the nephew of the former President of the United States. Robert F. Kennedy Jr., who is both a lawyer and author, published an article in 2016 in Politico magazine entitled, "Why Arabs Don't Want Us in Syria." The article stunned many.